Hello, welcome to another edition of the first edition of the New Year's of the End Zone podcast. Let me crack this seven up. A cheers to you, Johnders, and to the new year. Do you have anything?
Yeah, here's my Mountain Dew. Cheers to you, Eric.
Here's the Mountain Dew.
Both taking swigs.
And I spilled on myself, as is
tradition.
As is tradition.
As per tradition. Eric Johnson spells on himself, as per tradition.
Yep. What's up, man? It's the new year. New you. New Johnders.
I hope not. I hope it's not the new Johnders. No, I don't know what's up. We had the last time we talked, I talked about the live show I'm doing, or that I did.
How'd that go?
It went well. Sold a lot better than I thought it would. The show was received well. So I'm pumped.
He got that Eric Jensen Instagram story bump.
I think that's what did it. I think all these people that live in Chicago are like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go to the show or not. But then was Eric Jensen, this Utah kid, the Utah kid, as I call him, Instagrammed it out. Everybody was like, oh, if it has Eric's seal of approval, the End Zone podcast bump.
I do what I can.
I appreciate it, buddy.
I do what I can.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so playoffs start this week. That's pretty crazy. We're going to talk about the NFC today. I have an outline, but we can kind of go loosey-goosey with it. I want to talk – there are only six teams, so I'm sure we'll cover every team. So I just want to start with your Seahawks. I don't know. Maybe I was a prisoner to the moment on Sunday night, but I went back on Game Pass and watched Sunday Night Football, because at first I thought Russell Wilson didn't play that well on Sunday Night Football, and then I rewatched it, and he made some throws in the second half. He was cooking in the second half. I am glad I didn't tweet out any uber bad takes. That's one of my New Year's resolution, is not to tweet out things I immediately regret tweeting about sports-wise.
Life-wise, it's fine. You'll keep doing that. You'll keep
because I have that life-wise. All the time. I tweet a take, and then I think, oh, that was god-awful. That was terrible. So, I never do it with anything serious, but, I mean, if you want to look at some really faulty takes. I think I once said Jimmy Garoppolo would end up being the greatest quarterback to ever play the position.
That's not working out so hot right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, his career's still young. He could win, like, five Super Bowls.
That's a good point.
It's not a realm of possibility.
I'm on Pro Football Focus right now, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at the Seahawks offense. How many players, other than Russell Wilson, do you think are above a 70 grade?
Can I guess names?
Yeah, please.
Does it factor in playing time?
No.
So Tyler Lockett probably.
He's at 77.2.
Okay. I'd imagine DK Metcalf.
I'll save you some. That's the end of the list. It's Tyler Lockett. That's the end of the list. DK Metcalf is at 69.7. He's the next highest. And then everybody else is in the 60s or 50s.
I don't understand those grades. I don't really look at them because I do not understand how they figure that stuff out. Maybe that's dumb of me, but I don't know. I can't understand it, so I don't really look at that.
Well, they pay people to watch the film, and then they break everything down, and then they grade them per game. And then those grades per game get correlated into an average that is – let's see if it's an average.
All right. Well, I'm going to pull up PFF grades. That's pretty impressive. DK Metcalf looked good Sunday night.
No, I like DK Metcalf, yeah, but he's I don't know, because I'm not grading players by game, but it is sometimes he does have fumbling problems. He just have a hard time holding on to the ball, and then there's sometimes that he should catch balls that he doesn't. He's a rookie, so I think the grass is greener going forward in his career, but I do think that's not the worst grade. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like that's maybe about right, maybe a little bit low But I think there's the signs of improvement. Like, there are easily things that he can improve upon and become kind of a standout player next year.
Mm. Is that, like, hold on. Does PFF require a subscription?
Yeah.
I'm definitely without a PFF subscription.
Yeah, when you were saying understand the grades, I was like, well, what do you pay for the subscription for?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I thought they were available to the public, so I guess I don't. So tell me then, PFF grades-wise, this makes me sound like such an unknowing schlub, doesn't it? It's like,
I don't think
people,
so.
People listening to this being like, oh, man, he doesn't even look at the PFF grades.
Well, I do the same thing, and I kind of use the PFF grades kind of as a I don't take the PFF grades as gospel, but I do use it to reaffirm what I think and what I'm seeing on film. So if it's something I agree with, I go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Or if it's something like that's way lower, then that catches my eye, and I think, well, I don't know. I'm not saying I implicitly agree with all these grades, but it's kind of just a track to see if there's a reputable site that agrees with my thoughts or not.
Next year, I got to track how many games I watch on Game Pass, because I was thinking about that. I don't think I watched all 250 this year, but I think I must have watched at least 175.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, I wonder how much Game
Pass. It's a slog, man. It's a slog.
I wonder how much Game Pass I watched. I'm sure you watch more. PFF grades for the Eagles, I'm sure that starts and ends with Carson Wentz, right?
Carson Wentz is at 75.6. Dallas Goedert, 83.2.
Oh.
Jason Kelsey, 81.0. Peters, 81.8. So those are the highest guys on their offense.
Mm-hmm. I would have Wentz graded a little bit higher than that, personally. I think he's played some of his best football the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, but this isn't weighted towards the last few weeks. So I think that is true, but this is a rating throughout the season.
Gotcha. So anyways, moving away from PFF grades. So my question for you has been, the Seahawks, I would say what stood out, I thought the protection looked better on Sunday night.
The second half.
Than it had past weeks.
In the second half, not in the first half. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Not the first half. So that was good. I don't know, man. I don't watch all 22, but it just felt to me like Bobby Wagner did not show up at all. I never saw him. Did he have a tackle in that game? I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, he led the NFL in tackles this year, so I'm sure he had a tackle in week 17, but I do not have that in front of me right now.
Bobby Wagner said. I don't know. They felt to me like the defense wasn't getting gashed, but I don't know. I don't necessarily trust the defense going into the playoffs. Is that fair?
Well, it matters where Ziggy Ansah and Jadeveon Clowney are health-wise going into the postseason. Because if Clowney's healthy, that's a whole different defense. And Pete Carroll even said that, or that's what Chris Collinsworth said during the Sunday Night Football broadcast, is that that's what he really thinks the difference between this defense and some of the league's past. And, like, obviously Sherman's not there or Thomas or whatever. But I really do think that it starts with pass rush, and they need to get those, so they need to get Carson Wentz, you know, in his face. And it's kind of a cliche thing that, you know, quarterbacks don't like pressure, but that's what they need to do.
Yeah, that's certainly the truth. The Eagles' offensive line has been up and down, I think, the past 2 or 3 weeks. So they're susceptible to pass rush. I think if Clowney doesn't play in this game, who's kind of
– Well, I think Clowney will play. Just a matter of is he Clowney or is he kind of playing through injury? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I think he has a tendency to show up in the big games. That's one of the things. Like, he doesn't really show up for, like, these weird, like, 11 a.m. 2 p.m. Seattle games, but like when they're in primetime or playoff games, he always shows up. So
yeah, and you know, it is a weird thing where even when he was with the Texans, he would do that same thing where big games, he would, you know, big name, but it was always he was playing through these injuries. So we'll see if he can do that once again.
So, all right, I'm going to make you argue the other side of this because I think you believe that the Seahawks will win this game against the Eagles. Tell me why the Eagles might win this game.
Well, it has to start with Carson Wentz, and we just talked about Dallas Goedert. We saw on Sunday Night Football that soft zone in their cover two scheme. So if you can get Dallas Goedert in the middle of the field, that's where it is. And I also think that, Cox and Graham rushing up the middle of the field and taking that center of the Seahawks offensive line and, you know, crowding those lanes that Russell Wilson likes to rush and step up through. So it needs to be a Dallas Goedert, Carson Wentz game, and then on defense it needs to be Graham and Cox.
Yeah. I think that the only chance the Eagles stand here is if Carson Wentz just comes out a man possessed. I don't think that's going to happen. That said, I think this is a really close game.
There was a playoff game probably 10 years ago now where Ray Rice and the Baltimore Ravens kind of put the game away before the end of the second quarter on the Patriots. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like – I don't know if it's Homer or Marshawn Lynch, but they did have that long run against Philly in the regular season with Penny, Rashad Penny. And
I remember that. That was a breakout game for him.
Yeah, and was it a breakout game for him or was it a breakout game for this this offensive line that wants to protect or wants to be in the run game? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think this game will be close at all. I think this will be the second biggest blowout of the weekend, and I think that team I just mentioned will be a part of the other biggest blowout of the weekend. Did you already cover the AFC games with somebody else?
That's tomorrow with someone else.
I just want to say that I think I might be putting a heavy investment into the Titans -4.5 or my Titans +4.5.
Mm. So you think they'll win by 4 points, right?
No, +4.5 means they get 4 points. So they can lose by 3 and still win the bet.
Okay. I don't think that would be a bad bet at all. We'll get to that. I actually have a Titans guy coming on to talk about the AFC playoff picture tomorrow. But I don't know. I feel like Doug Peterson has really kind of flown under the radar with what a great coaching job he's done the past 3 or 4 weeks with basically.
Well, my friend, our friend, Ryan McGinley, will tell you that he hasn't done a great coaching job since Eric Reich and DeFlippo left. So I don't know. Has he done a great coaching job?
I disagree. I think with the lack of –
he made the playoffs in the worst division in football. So congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point, but he did it with basically none of his core star offensive players. But literally – Carson Wentz's safety blanket not being there at all, losing the running back that had become a major weapon for him, and he finds these guys like Boston Scott and Greg Ward to come off the practice squad and make
to go 8-8
impacts. Right. I know, Johnders, but I'm just saying.
I'm just keeping it real, man.
If I were a Seahawks fan, it's in Philly, I'd be a little worried. I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust any quarterback in the NFC right now. But I worry that this game is going to be ugly, I think. I have this deep down feeling that this is going to be one of those, like, grinded out like Chicago Philly style games from last year where it's incredibly close up until the very end. And I think the Seahawks will come through because you're right. On paper, they have a much more talented roster, but I just believe in playoff football being extremely different from regular season football.
Hey, and to that point, Russell Wilson's playoff record is 13. No, wait. Game start. I don't know. My point here is that so Russell Wilson's playoff record is 8-5. Is that right? I don't know. Doesn't matter. The point is that Carson Wentz, this will be his first ever playoff start.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just think they'll keep it close. I think the Seahawks ultimately win the matchup. I think you're absolutely right. They're too talented to lose the matchup. I just think it's going to be a really weird, like, I could totally see this being like a weird odd score game, like 19-14 Seahawks, like with a safety mixed in there somewhere. I feel like it's going to be a really weird kind of fun game to watch. And I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think you're going to be stressed out over this one, my friend.
I think I'll be sleeping easy that night. I don't think I'll be stressed out at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it will be. Let's move on to a question I had here. Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
The New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. I thought Thomas we were going to have some debate, but no.
Who'd you think I was going to say?
I don't know. I thought I should have thought better because you hate the Niners. And
yep.
I know for a fact you don't really buy the Packers. So, yeah, I mean.
Well, I don't think the quarterback's very good in Green Bay right now. And I don't think the quarterback's very good in San Francisco.
The quarterback in San Francisco is fine. I don't know what quarterback you're watching in San Francisco, but.
I think he's fine, but he's not Drew Brees or Russell Wilson.
I think he literally outdueled Drew Brees like 3 weeks ago.
I don't know. I give George Kittle to Drew Brees, and I think, you know, I don't know. George Kittle is playing out of his mind right now. And what was that sound clip that Chris Collinsworth said? I'm going to keep quoting Chris Collinsworth. He says that George Kittle's tight ends coach keeps yelling at him for every time he gets tackled, he goes out of bounds, and now George Kittle literally thinks that he can't be tackled. I kind of believe that. That's how he's playing.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. The Saints, I would agree, they are the best team in the NFC. It was a major travesty that they didn't get a 1 or 2 seed. I don't know how.
Well, they should have, because there should have been offensive pass interference, or there should have been defensive pass interference at the end of that Seahawks game, which would have given the Saints the 2 seed, but whatever.
All right. I just.
Have you thought about that? This is a point that Rich Eisen made, that, you know, the Saints season ends last year on an obvious and clear pass interference not being called, right? And now they're not the 2 seed and not having a bye week because the Seahawks don't get a clear and obvious pass interference call.
That's a very fair point. It's crazy how much things change in the NFL based on just one call.
Yeah. It's the butterfly effect. I mean, everything. I mean, you can change one thing in any game, and just all the ripples are just incalculable.
Absolutely. Do you buy this? I think the theory that New Orleans going to Green Bay is somehow a disadvantage for New Orleans is totally bogus. Because they've – I don't know. I don't buy the fact that they can't play indoors anymore, that they can't
I
play
respect the hell out of the Titans. And we saw, you know, down 14-0, the Saints come back and rally and score, what, 21 unanswered and go on and win that game?
And I get it's not Green Bay, but, like, they can play outside.
I think they're a better team than Green Bay right now. And, like, yeah. I get it that it's not as cold, if that's what you're trying to say. But and Kamara is coming back into form the way we saw him last year. They also have the, you know, the Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill, to kind of – do whatever gadget play they could come up with. Michael Thomas is a man amongst boys.
Yeah, it's just – I just feel like it's an incredibly stupid point. Like, I don't know why people keep bringing it up and being like, well, I don't know if the Saints can go up to Green Bay and hang with the Packers. Like, no. Like, if the Saints went to Green Bay, I have no doubt in my mind that they'd win by, like, 10 points. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, DeMario Davis or Cam Jordan dropping Aaron Rodgers a couple times on that frozen tundra.
Yeah. Like, they'll be fine. And, I mean, San Francisco, like, people are acting like, oh, well, then they couldn't – I saw somewhere, oh, then they couldn't go to San Francisco. San Francisco, like, is basically New Orleans. Like,
in that game, during the regular season, was a coin flip, and I don't think home field advantage had anything to do with it. And I think you play that game 10 times, you have, you know, it's a 50-50 split between those two teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people that are not crazy about
who are these people that are hating the Saints?
What?
I'm gonna fight them. I'm going to fight these people that aren't on the Saints bandwagon.
Yeah. The Seahawks, could they give the Saints problems?
It matters if Dwayne Brown is playing for left tackle for the Seahawks. If he is, the Seahawks have a chance in every game. Because if Russell Wilson has that extra 2 seconds, they have a chance in every game. But I would expect the Saints to be favored, and I would probably expect the Saints to win, but Russell Wilson is just that dude. I don't care what the odds are. You have to give him a chance in every game.
Now, after we said all that nice stuff about the Saints, I'm going to force you to argue something again. Why the Vikings might win that playoff game?
Well, Kirk Cousins at times has been better, right?
Right.
So if you can catch lightning in the bottle, if Diggs and Thielen can both perform in the same week, if they could both have their best games in the same week, that's something. Kyle Rudolph, so if you get everybody working at the same time and Xavier Rhodes goes through some kind of time machine where he becomes 5 years younger, then you have something, right? I don't know. Mike Zimmer is what had 3 losing years or something. But I don't think he has a playoff win other than the Minnesota Miracle to his name. That's really like a standout playoff win. These safeties are pretty good. I don't see a cornerback shutting down Michael Thomas. So for the Vikings to win, they need to get into a shootout and have the ball last. And Kirk Cousins needs to earn that money. I don't know. It's hard for me to argue for the Vikings to win. I'm trying to. Danielle Hunter kind of becomes.
I was about to say, if he goes off, then.
If Danielle Hunter kind of like becomes a household name, it's hard for me to like argue this without knocking Drew Brees out of the game due to injury, which, you know, is not fun and I don't want to do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a fair point. I think they're going to get waxed.
But what if they knock Drew Brees out of the game and then it's a Teddy Bridgewater revenge game?
I think the Saints could literally win with Teddy Bridgewater.
They can win with 3 quarterbacks, I think.
Yeah, like, I think Sean Payton deserves some Coach of the Year buzz just for what he did this year and the fact that some of his biggest wins, including the Seahawks, came with his backup quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the other crazy thing is, I don't know how you can give Offensive Player of the Year to Christian McCaffrey when Michael Thomas has done what he's done.
I mean, if I were doing the voting, I mean, Christian McCaffrey just didn't do enough to – I mean, Michael Thomas getting the Marvin Harrison record in week 16 was kind of a death blow to Christian McCaffrey. And I think Christian McCaffrey would win it if you were handing out the award at week 10, but unfortunately you hand out the award after week 17.
Right. So – I don't know. He kind of slowed down. He didn't slow down, but he was not as much of a factor.
But they might double up. The AP might double up and give it to Lamar Jackson. Give him MVP and Offensive Player of the Year.
I don't think that's fair. That seems. Like
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying it could happen.
It seems like a little bit of a cop out. But I mean, when's the last time that happened? I wonder.
I don't know. It's happened, though. I think it might have been one of the Peyton Manning years.
I don't think so. I think he only won he might have.
Let's find this.
When is the last time the MVP won Offensive Player of the Year? I can't find it off the top of my head, but that'd be kind of crazy to me. Okay. So you don't believe in.
Did Patrick Mahomes win both last year?
No, I don't think
so. What Offensive Player of the Year last year?
I'm not sure. Let me ask you about the Packers. Where do you stand on how far they're going to make it in the playoffs?
Patrick Mahomes won both last year.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so what about the Packers?
Hear me out. I have said for weeks I don't believe they're a bye team, but I don't know. Maybe it's not crazy to think Aaron Rodgers could get hot in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Aaron Rodgers at this.
Mariota had a better QBR his last season with LaFleur as his coach than Aaron Rodgers did this year.
Mm.
It was like 52 versus 53 or something. I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't having a good year. And to think that – they're the two seed, right? So they'll probably end up playing the Seahawks in round two?
No, the Saints.
The Saints. I mean, that's way worse than playing the Seahawks. I don't think they can keep up with the firepower of the Saints offense.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is holding onto the ball too long. They're not making enough plays downfield. He's not taking the gimme plays, in the middle of the field. I think the offensive line, the thing about the Packers is I think they beat up on teams with bad offensive lines. Well, that's not the Saints. So they're going to be able to protect Drew Brees. The Smith bros aren't going to be able to get to Drew Brees, and the Saints are going to be able to walk away with that one. I think the Packers are a one-and-done team all the way.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. They have like a winning playoff formula if you really think about it. If they give Aaron Jones the ball and he's dominant as he has been at points this year, if they use that Vikings game plan in the playoffs where they just hand the ball off to Aaron Jones and kind of let the offense not try to turn over the ball and the defense get some sacks, which I think it can do, I don't know. It feels like we're going to be there is a chance in my mind that we're sitting here Super Bowl weekend and we're like, wait, how are the Packers in the Super Bowl?
81.2 is a respectable Pro Football Focus score for Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's a above average quarterback. Aaron Jones is 84.9 and Davante Adams is 83.5. And I think that's right. Like, if you're listing the ways that it's exactly to your point. Right. So in what ways does the Packers offense work? Hand the ball off to Aaron Jones, play action to Davante Adams. So you're exactly right.
And I mean, I think Lazard has played excellent the last 2 weeks.
72.2. Yeah, he's been
if he can, if he can become a weapon, like, I don't know, to me, even though they're a two seed, to me, they're the dark horse. I feel like.
Because they're a little slept on. They're not as fun as the Vikings are for numerous reasons. Rookie head coach. Yeah, I mean, I see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I could totally see people freaking out when they're in the Super Bowl and being like, oh my God, the Packers were terrible all year. How are they in the Super Bowl? And how are they? Because it kind of doesn't make sense how they got to 13-3. It kind of makes no sense, but they're a 13-3 football.
Did they have the third place schedule or the second place schedule this year?
I'm not sure.
I think they had the third. So they had a third place schedule because I think the Bears were the one seed, and then the Vikings were the second seed in the NFC North. So,
yeah. I don't know. I worry about Aaron Rodgers. I worry about Aaron Rodgers getting hot because. What if Matt LaFleur is just like, listen, dummy, start throwing the ball to the middle of the field, and Aaron Rodgers is like, all right, I'm done. What if Aaron Rodgers is basically playoff Tom Brady, and he says, okay, I'm done messing around, the gloves are coming off in January.
You mean like he goes on a Joe Flacco run?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers, the human being, is too stubborn for that to happen, for him to change his game magically, but what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, that's also a fair. What is it going to take for them to have an explosive offense? They've got to get another wide receiver.
Do you really think so? Because I think if Lazard develops, Davante Adams is a legit number one. Lazard is like coming into his own at number two. Do they really? Is it really a problem of not having weapons?
I don't think Lazard would be like a high quality number two. Like a name that got thrown out there for some reason. What if that offense had Amari Cooper?
Yeah, he'd be better than Lazard, but he's going to be wanting to get paid like a number one. So at some point, that's a problem, right?
Right. I don't know. Maybe.
Because I don't think Amari Cooper is as good as Davante Adams. I mean, maybe that's a hot take, but I'd rather have Davante Adams on my team than Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I know. They could really stand to gain a tight end.
It's like I don't even think they're playing their best guy because I think Mercedes Lewis – just looks better in pass pro and in intermediate routes than Jimmy Graham. I mean, I think he's just a better
player. Jimmy Graham hasn't been good since week two.
Yeah, so I don't know why he's being outsnapped by – or why Mercedes Lewis is being outsnapped by, like, a ghost of somebody who was a Pro Bowler 10 years ago.
Do the Packers still have multiple draft picks this year? I feel like they have multiple draft picks this year.
I feel like they always have multiple draft picks. Why do you ask?
I was just curious because maybe they've got all these stud wide receivers coming out in the draft. Maybe you draft someone.
Yeah, because, well, they've started playing in free agency, so maybe that will be something they can look at. But I don't know if Amari Cooper is the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not that up to date with who's going to become a free agent this offseason yet.
Yeah, no, not me neither. I've been looking at Walter football lists occasionally, but they aren't very well organized. I need our boy Greg to drop his top 25 free agents list. He usually does it in like December, and I haven't seen it.
According to somebody named Freddie Boss on Fran's side, they have T. Higgins going to the Packers at the 27th overall pick, the wide receiver out of Clemson.
All right. I don't know who he is. I don't watch college football a lot.
Me neither.
I just know there are a lot of, like, really highly touted wide receivers at the top of the draft. So, who knows? Maybe the Packers trade up. You never know. But that's some good Packers talk. Who haven't we covered yet? We've talked a little Eagles. We've talked a little – Niners.
I guess we talked a little Niners. We haven't really shined on them, though. And then,
all right, let's talk some more Niners.
Do you want to have the Drew Brees versus Russell Wilson debate? That's in your notes.
Ooh, is that in my notes?
Best quarterback in the NFC, and those are the two guys.
I was actually going to agree with you, probably.
Well, I just wanted to throw this out there.
If you argue Drew Brees, I'll argue Russell Wilson.
Maybe. But I've been talking about Pro Football Focus a lot this episode, and I was already talking about Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to go top three, and I'm going to go reverse order. So there's a tie at number two for – you know, that we're at the end of the season. So there's a tie at number two, and it's Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. They're both at 91.2 overall. Do you want to guess who number one is? I guess I've kind of already told you, but
– Ryan Tannehill?
92.5. Obviously, it's a shorter sample size, blah, 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 blah. But it is indicative of how well he played. Lamar Jackson, number four. Kirk Cousins at number five.
Wow. It's crazy how I don't know.
But to be fair to Lamar Jackson, I want to say that he misses out on the tie for two by 0.1. So Russell Wilson is 91.2. Drew Brees is 91.2. Lamar Jackson is 91.1.
We'll get to Lamar Jackson tomorrow, but well, I'm going to ask you about Lamar Jackson really quick, and this isn't a playoff question. Has Lamar Jackson changed the way you think about quarterbacking? Because I think he has fundamentally changed the way I think about quarterback.
I think Colin Kaepernick did. And, you know, Greg Roman was very instrumental in that, who is Lamar Jackson's offense coordinator right now. Because I remember just being in kind of shock that Monday Night Football game where – Colin Kaepernick gets his first start. It's against the Bears, and I've never seen a quarterback in a pro level run like that. I mean, it was different than Michael Vick. There's just no two ways about it. Colin Kaepernick ran differently than Michael Vick. Russell Wilson, a little bit RG3, Lamar Jackson's backup a little bit, but I would say that Lamar Jackson's an extension and probably better at all facets of the game than Colin Kaepernick, but Colin Kaepernick, I think, is the OG, if you want to say it that way.
I don't know. Just this year, the way I've kind of – like, a quarterback is no longer someone who throws the ball to me. A quarterback is someone who moves your offense.
So, yeah, well, that was kind of what they were saying about Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl years, too, that he was the point guard, right? That the offense runs through him and that he distributes the ball, if not take the ball. So is that kind of what you're saying, like kind of a point guard in basketball?
No, I wouldn't say
I don't really
that.
Know much about basketball to make that point. I just know that that's what other people say.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that a ton, but I just feel like Lamar Jackson has just changed the way I view the position.
And that's fine. I mean, I totally get it. I just think that I think I was waiting for Lamar Jackson, right? Like, after Colin Kaepernick, I put myself in the mindset of the GM and I'm thinking, I want to play 11-on-11 football. I'm not playing 10-on-11 football. I'm putting my team in the best position to play, and that's by playing 11-on-11.
Right.
So I was waiting for Lamar Jackson. So maybe it's different just because I've been just sitting here waiting for it. So maybe that just makes it a little bit different.
Yeah, maybe. I think Colin Kaepernick was the first season I ever really watched football. But I don't think I ever really understood the gravity of Colin Kaepernick, but it's just been interesting to me how much Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, has just changed the way I think about the position.
I just think that, and Cam Newton's name should probably be mentioned in here too, but this Colin Kaepernick's sophomore year, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, and RG3, although those guys aren't playing anymore, or, you know, Andrew Luck is retired and Robert Griffin III is a backup, I really feel like that's the start of this era of the NFL. And, you know, because that's kind of when the read option stuff came into play, and it's just a different – you could kind of look at it in segments of – you know, I remember when Wildcat became a thing in 2009. And, I mean, offenses are so different now after Colin Kaepernick than they were before. And it's I think people don't appreciate that and how much he really changed the game. And, you know, we don't need to get into, you know, whatever else. But, like, just on the football field, he left his mark. And he really changed the way that I think offenses and offensive minds in the pro level think about what can work in a professional setting. Because, I mean, they were doing that some college, you know, forever, but it was always, well, this is the pros and the defensive players are too fast and too smart, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, if you're playing 11-on-11 football, then it doesn't matter. You know, it's basic math.
Yeah. I don't know. It also changes. We're getting to draft season on Twitter. I don't know if you've noticed that yet. But I don't know.
Yeah, that one kid that looks like Macaulay Culkin. If Macaulay Culkin was never on movies or anything.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin minus Hollywood, Joe Burrows.
We're getting to draft season, which is probably, arguably, the most annoying time to be on Twitter.
That's when Jonders lays out, listens to Move the Sticks, and learns about the players and doesn't give opinions.
Yes. Same here. I don't listen to Move the Sticks, though. I honestly cannot listen to Move the Sticks.
This is what I'll say about Move the Sticks, and this might sound like a shot, but maybe it is. But, like, it is pretty dry, but it is super informative. Like, it is homework, but, like, you learn so much. Like, okay. It's like, but it is homework.
I'll have to give it a try. I just can't listen. I don't know. I've tried.
I only listen during draft season too, though. So
I've tried listening to it before, but I don't know. I can't.
It's homework. It's homework, and, like, it's just a part of my job. I consider it so.
Yeah, I guess I should make that a part of my routine as well. So, but my larger point there was, how on earth are you ever gonna say a college quarterback can't play in the NFL again after this season? How on earth are you ever gonna say, oh, he doesn't? He's too much of a runner. Like that. Just can't be an acceptable way to evaluate a quarterback for an NFL GM ever again.
I'm not going to say names here, but I did. I still think there's a lot of institutional racism when it comes to playing quarterback. I tried talking to some other, internet football guy that runs in our circles about how I still think that Russell Wilson isn't going to get the pop he does because he's a black mobile quarterback, opposed to, because I think and this is the real reason why I rail against people like Derek Carr a lot, because I do think that some players get the benefit of being a white pocket passer, and that is respected by the old guard. And I think that off season when Derek Carr was considered to be a top five quarterback prospect and he was being put on lists above Russell Wilson, I think there was a very clear reason for that. And it was because he plays the position the way it's supposed to be played. Well, it's 2020, and the way that it's supposed to be played is by scoring points. And that's what Lamar Jackson's doing. That's what Deshaun Watson's doing. Patrick Mahomes, I don't care, what the color of their skin is or whatever. It's, but that's what I'm saying. After 2012, playing the so if you think that playing quarterback has changed now that you've watched Lamar Jackson, there you are a young person who is willing to change their philosophy of what quarterback is. There are so many staunchy old dudes that still want Johnny Unitas to roll out, and that's just not going to happen. No one's been a bigger advocate, and no one has loved Tom Brady more than me, but he's a dodo bird, it's a gone by era. Yeah. That's not how quarterbacks can be played anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point. I usually don't get too deep into social political issues, but that's an absolutely fair point that I think like the old guard certainly has that way of thinking. You made a point. Oh, your point about Derek Carr. I just wanted to say, I watched Derek Carr Sunday. You are so right. He's so boring.
And I said that about halfway through the season. Is that like, he's I so don't even incredible. Know if he sucks
that
anymore.
That has stuck with me every time I've watched him, and I see it, dude. He is like.
I said that about halfway through the season. Like, I don't even know if he sucks. He's just the most boring quarterback in the game. He never takes a risk, or he never takes a risky throw downfield. He always takes his check down. He never throws more than 20 yards downfield. He is just incredibly boring. And you know who doesn't like boring quarterbacks? John Gruden. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Raiders in Vegas, but I will. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Derek Carr.
I liked the around the NFL theory on Phil Rivers.
He does, and he does like old quarterbacks, and he always has. He was close to landing Brett Favre when he was in Tampa Bay, and I mean, there's definitely an alternate universe where the Packers let him go to Tampa Bay, and Brett Favre lives out his days in Tampa Bay because John Gruden loves old quarterbacks. He also made his money and made his way in the league by being with Brett Favre, and Derek Carr wears number 4 and he claims to be a Brett Favre fan, but he does not play like it at all. This is crazy for me to say, because obviously I'm not the athlete Derek Carr is, blah, 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 blah. But if you're going out there and saying that you're a Brett Favre disciple, go out and play like Jameis Winston. And that would be acceptable, because he'd be like, oh, well, he grew up watching Favre, he's thrown 30 for 30, but what are you going to do? But instead it's,
I kind of like how this has gone down the rabbit hole of quarterbacks. I want to stick on it. What if after one season, maybe Bruce Arians is tired of Jameis Winston? What if John Gruden calls up his boy at Bruce Arians and says, I'll give you Derek Carr for Jameis Winston straight up?
Honestly, I couldn't think of a better quarterback for the Raiders to say, we're sticking with the old tradition. We're still going to bomb it downfield. We don't give an F about nothing.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
We're rolling out with Jameis Winston. Honestly, I haven't thought about that until you just brought that up. But if Jameis Winston's a starting quarterback in the NFL next year, I would enjoy it. That's the only place where I would enjoy watching him play is for the Vegas Raiders.
I think I'd enjoy watching Jameis Winston anywhere. I get that he's like not.
It's a little annoying for me.
I get he's not a good person. I fully understand the
Jameson. But that would also fit in with the Raiders' motif. I don't exactly want the Raiders to be good people off the field, which is another weird thing where Derek Carr is a devout Catholic and he's such a wholesome guy and blah, blah, blah. And it's weird that that's a knock against him, but you're a Raider. The Raider rule number one, cheat. Raider rule number two, look at Raider rule number one.
I need Jameis Winston in my life next year.
Like I like the idea. I really like the idea of Gruden. Oh man.
And it's crazy. I'm crazy and I'm not a Bucs fan, and this is why I say this. I would pay Jameis. Like, because what are the I just don't see better options than Jameis.
Derek Carr is like kind of a little bit more vanilla version of Carson Palmer. So Bruce Arians really like Carson Palmer, right? I do think that you're onto something. This is almost as good as your Andy Dalton to the Bears. Because I do also think that Derek Carr might be, or the Bears might be a landing spot for Derek Carr. They've already done business together, those two front offices.
Ugh, I'd hate that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it'd be awful. Like, I would just not talk to any Bears fans anymore here in Chicago. I would just tell them that I don't know anything about football. Well, I'm a comedian. I don't know anything about football. It's like I just could not explain how bad Derek Carr is to everybody constantly.
Yeah, I like Andy Dalton better.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, if I was a Bears fan, I'd rather have Andy Dalton than Derek Carr.
Bears fans get so mad online about that Andy Dalton thing.
Well, they should, because that, it's just like, so much better than
so many people got very angry when I suggested Andy Dalton.
Mitchell Trubisky's rated 64.0 according to Pro Football Focus. Andy Dalton 66.3. But I don't think that's really indicative. I think Andy Dalton's way better than Mitch Trubisky.
By the way, I think the Bengals are gonna be good next year. Not like playoff good, but like fun good. Like, I don't watch college football, but I watched, like, I love LSU, and I watched, like, three or four Joe Burrow's games this year, and oh my God, that guy, if Zach Taylor truly is this offensive genius who runs the spread and stuff, like, they are going to put up numbers in Cincinnati if they get another, if they can somehow draft another wide receiver or keep AJ Green around one more year.
Where do you think Nick Foles goes?
That's an interesting question. I'm not so sure he leaves. I'm not so sure he leaves Jacksonville, to be honest with you. Because, like, unless they cut him, I don't think anyone wants to trade for Nick Foles.
Last offseason, I almost retooled everything at Ford Pass Thinking and just made it only about quarterbacks. I'm definitely doing that this offseason. So we'll have to get you on, and we're just going to talk about quarterbacks on, like, the debut episode of, like, the retooled Ford Pass Thinking.
Done. Easy. I love quarterbacks. Okay, why do you hate Jimmy G, then, bringing this back to the playoffs? Like, what about Jimmy G? Because
I don't hate him.
Jonders. He has made some awesome throws this year. I get that he's not Russell Wilson and he's not Drew Brees, but he's, like, a really good top 10 quarterback.
Not according to Pro Football Focus. I'm looking right at him, and he's number 13, and I think that's about where he deserves to be. I don't hate Jimmy G. I just think that he has been overhyped since the word go in his career, and that I don't think 49ers fans should want to host the Seahawks again, because I don't think that would end up well for them, the Jimmy G against Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. And I think that they have a saying on the Move the Sticks podcast, are you a trailer or are you a truck? And I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a trailer, and that's fine. I don't hate Jimmy G. This always happens to me where, like, I have an opinion of the guy and it mostly stays the same. Usually I'm right. And I think Jimmy G, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's a 13 guy. I think he's an 8 to 10 guy, right?
Yeah, and I'd agree. I don't think he's, like, top 5, but, like, I don't know.
But me saying that he is lower tier playoff quarterback isn't an insult. Like, obviously, I think he's better than Josh Allen, but I know that's going to upset you too, so I shouldn't have said that. But I think that the Seahawks are in the playoffs because of Russell Wilson. I think, despite the fact that Teddy Bridgewater stepped in, I think that the Saints are so much better team with Drew Brees. I just don't think that he's the reason they're there, and I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, it's definitely not unfair to say, but I just think with the offense around him.
I guess my philosophy in football is that.
It does go larger back to the
So I think everything, you know, works from the bottom down in sports. I think it starts with an owner, then it goes to a head coach, and then it goes to a quarterback. Or sometimes the quarterback's above the head coach. So when I look at teams, I'd rather maybe this is the gambler in me, but I'm thinking if I have the opportunity to bet on the Ravens with Lamar Jackson or the 49ers or Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm taking Lamar Jackson every single time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Jimmy G is better than Lamar Jackson.
Okay. But what I'm saying is I want a team with a quarterback.
Mm.
So that's why I'm taking the Saints this weekend against the Vikings, right? We can talk about how what we do is an inexact science, blah, 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 blah. We make these picks online. We're wrong. People laugh at us because we spent all this time working on this. At the end of the day, it's about evaluating quarterbacks and picking the team with a better quarterback.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you make a good point because if I had to do that, if you said, okay, running down the list of opponents the Saints could play in the playoffs. I think the Saints have a bit the Niners could play. Saints have a better quarterback. Seahawks have a better quarterback. Packers have a better quarterback.
Also, I would like to throw this out there. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing playoff football for the last few weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't look great in that Monday night game against the Seahawks. He looked a little shook. Like, the moment was a little bit too big for him. Since then, in that Rams game, he's coming up to the light, and he's performed. The Sunday night game, he's, you know, taking the spotlight and performed. We still don't know what it's going to be like coming out of the bye week when he has to deal with a team that's already been in the playoffs for a week. Or he could – I mean, so it could be the Seahawks in the divisional round, right? Like, the Seahawks could go over up there. Russell Wilson, with his 8 years of experience in the playoffs, can go. And I know Jimmy Garoppolo has the 2 Super Bowl rings, but he didn't play. So right. Let's see what this moment's like for Jimmy G when the Santa Clara is filled. Everybody's looking at you, and you have to perform against a team that has playoff experience.
That's absolutely a fair point. I think that's so undervalued how much of a role playoff experience plays in.
He doesn't have a lot of he doesn't even have a lot of regular season experience
in the playoffs. And honestly, it's what makes me nervous about, and we'll talk about this more in tomorrow's show, but we've already talked about it enough. Let's just talk about Titans Patriots. It's what makes me so nervous about that game, John, is because I deep down inside of me, as much as I want to say, oh, Ryan Tannehill's going to be fine, they'll just pick up and they'll beat Tom Brady and Foxborough. Like, there is a chance that Tom Brady rolls in there and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that, like, I'm good. And even though I have bad weapons around me, I can throw crossing routes the best I have ever seen a quarterback. Tom Brady literally throws the most beautiful crossing route in NFL history of my eyes. And there's a chance, a good chance, that he shows up and they dissect him with crossing routes and beat him by 30.
That could happen, but I would also like
worries me about that game. But to that point, I think you're right. And we can kind of shift back to the NFC now. And it's why I as much as I've praised Jimmy G this year, I don't have him making it past that divisional round because I just don't think they have the experience yet. I think there is so much to be said about it taking time. And you saw it last year with the Chiefs. To be honest with you, I think Lamar Jackson might struggle a little bit because, yes, he had that game against the Chargers last year, but he's still kind of relative. This is the first time this specific offense has really gotten a chance in the playoffs. And, like, the Ravens could struggle. I don't think they'd lose, but I think they'd legitimately struggle.
I don't know. I believe in Harbaugh and Greg Roman.
Right. That's also a fair point. And Kyle Shanahan does. That is the one thing about the Niners, though. Shanahan has playoff experience.
He has experience being the offensive coordinator of the biggest ups, or I don't even know what you call that, comeback, biggest letdown. Yeah, what do you call the other side of the comeback? The biggest playoff or the biggest lead loss?
Choke?
Yeah, the biggest choke. Can I talk about just my one quick point about Tennessee at Patriots is that it's a Bill Belichick disciple coming in as the head coach, and Bill has always had trouble with his disciples coming in. So Mike Vrabel is coming in, and we just saw Bill Belichick lose to Brian Flores.
I mean, I don't know, man. There's part deep. I love the Titans so much. I'd say right now, of all the teams, and I'm a floozy. I've admitted that. I've realized this year I'm a floozy. I jump on teams so quickly and latch on and just don't let go until it suits me. And I admit that. I'm an NFL floozy. But no team has hooked me quite like the Tennessee Titans have hooked me. But there is a very real part of my body that says, oh, my God, they are going to get embarrassed in Foxborough.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's just run through the NFC playoff picture. I have in weekend one, Seahawks winning, Saints winning.
Same.
Okay. Then I have Seahawks beating Niners, Saints beating Packers.
Same.
Then I have Saints beating Seahawks.
Different. No, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it was that Tennessee game when I had a moment of clarity, the first real moment of clarity I had all year because, you know, doing this, I have, like, all kinds of family that are like, well, you pay attention to the NFL. Who do you think's going to the Super Bowl? And I wasn't really – I didn't really have a definitive answer until, like, late December when the Saints won that game. There is no – I have no more clarity in my life right now than the fact that the Saints will be in Miami. I feel it in my bones.
That on top of a Seahawks 49ers bloodbath, you know, like I think the Seahawks, like even if they are healthy, quote-unquote, coming out of that, that's going to be such a hard-hitting game that I'll take the Saints in the NFC Championship game at home.
That'd be a great game. I'll give it that. Saints Seahawks would be an excellent conference championship game. And I get Russell Wilson has the experience. And it seems like he hasn't been to the big game in a while.
I'll take that. Well, he missed the playoffs 2 years ago, and then he was bounced in the first round last year. So, yeah, that's why.
But he could definitely come back and do it. But I just feel like the Saints – and we talked about playoff testing – there is no bigger, greater playoff-tested team than the Saints.
How about this? I'm going to change my pick. The Seahawks are going to win, but it's going to be a controversial call that goes against the Saints. So the Saints should win, but they won't win.
Not this time.
Yeah. There's going to be some BS call. The Saints should lose, but the Seahawks are going to win. And then Marshawn Lynch is going to be S-spot in the locker room. He's going to be like, I don't know. He's not. I don't know what he's gonna say. He's gonna have some Marshawn Lynch logic. Yeah, he's gonna say something wild. He's gonna be asked, hey, so what do you think about that call the other game? Just football out there. Just football.
How about that action, boss?
Just football.
Just about that action, boss. Who samples that in a rap song? I've been thinking about that ever since he got back. Who samples that? Who samples that?
I don't know. There is a good B.O.B. song about Marshawn Lynch called Beast Mode. I don't know who samples that.
Because there's literally a sample that they run it back and say, like, about that action, boss. About that action, boss. And that was Eric, a very white person, rapping. And now I got to know about that action, boss sample.
I just Googled I Googled about that action. How about that action? Urban Dictionary comes up. How about Mr. Cheeks light camera action?
No, don't think that was it.
Yeah, I don't want to look at that. Here's the Urban Dictionary about that action. exhibiting a preference to express oneself with deeds rather than words. Attributed to Marshawn Lynch during an interview with the always loquacious Deion Sanders prior to Super Bowl 47.
Well, holy shit, you'll never believe. I know where it's from. Guess who the artist is, and it's someone you'd never expect.
The Young Droog.
No.
Who is it?
Macklemore.
Yeah, no, he's from Seattle.
It's from a Macklemore.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's from Seattle, yeah.
Willy Wonka, yeah. Yeah, off of his Gemini.
They used to play his one song after they scored a touchdown. Dr. Sula can hold us. We got to get out of here, man. This podcast this needs to be over.
This could be terrible. Well, I mean, you could just listen to us white guys rapping a little bit more.
Just like Macklemore.
Yeah.
Dear Lord. All right, I'm going to hang up. Can I just hang up? End the
show, okay. Let's get out of here. Jonders, where can Pete – I want
– At Jonders FPT on Twitter. That will take care of all your needs.
Do it. At Eric18Utah on Twitter.
Also Instagram. Also Instagram. At Jonders FPT on Instagram.
I quit Instagram for the new year because I felt like it. I'm out.
All right, well, I won't be getting those sweet likes then. Whatever. Yeah.
Peace out, folks.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be back tomorrow.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.